Blind Cool Tech, July 1, 2006.
Blind Cool Tech, we're fun.
Well, I wanted to play with the podcast stuff, okay?
Technology, the world is anybody there. And blindness.
Ah, oh, God, who put that wall there?
Can all come together.
Hey, y'all, how you doing? I'm Larry Skutkan, your host for this edition of Blind Cool Tech. Happy 4th of July weekend, American Independence Day celebration, and, you know, I don't know how the rest of you in the world view us Americans, but we, I think, can pretty confidently say we're very proud and very proud of our country. We think we stand for the right ideals and democracy and equal rights. And this is a great weekend. It sort of represents what America is about with barbecues or cookouts and picnics and family get-togethers, traveling. Just heard 41 million people will be in their cars this weekend traveling around. And I know to some people in some other countries that may seem overly consumptive or audacious, but I guess that's a matter of perspective. Anyway, in this issue of Blind Cool Tech, I do want to answer some user comments. And I will say I made this recording originally yesterday, and I had a kind of a sickening experience. I Hope Povenmire and Megan Kelly came to American Printing House. Thought that wasn't a sickening experience. That was actually a very pleasant experience. But we were going to record a Blind Cool Tech episode, and all was going well. We got in the car with Hope's parents and went to a coffee shop. And as I was playing the recording back, I noticed that as I got out of the car, one of the channels... Well, hey, Jakester. What's up, little buddy? One of the channels started cutting out, and I thought, oh, one of the microphone clips had come... wires had come loose from the microphone. I checked them yesterday, and they were okay, and I went to make another cast, and sickening of sickening, I have broken the record jack on the Eddyroll R9. It's just loose as it can be. And I guess when I sat down there, it was in my front pocket, and the cable, I guess I just put too much pressure on it. So I'll be probably one of the first people to check out the Eddyroll repair department. I'm sure this isn't going to be under warranty. I don't think they warrant against stupidity. So be on the lookout for that. I mean, we all know that can happen, and I don't know. I don't know how that happened to me. I'm always aware of that possibility, but somehow things didn't work out for me that time. Anyway, I wanted to talk to you today about digital talking books. And this is in response to a user comment from Jim Gammon. You'll remember Jim Gammon as the person that submitted the Runover Guitar podcast, which we all got a great laugh from, and it was a great recording. But also the, what was the name of it? Not Mandolin Bay, or maybe it was Mandolin Bay. It was an excellent recording of, Jake, you coming up or down, buddy? It was an excellent, recording of a bay in Hawaii. The tide going in and out and the stereo separation. And you could really get into a trance listening to this, and the quality is outstanding, so... Both those recordings are up on the Blind Cool Tech website, so check those out. And also notice the quality of this call from Jim. He's calling with Skype.
Hey, Larry. This is Jim Gammon calling you via Skype phone. And I wanted to see if you could clarify or maybe post something to the list. I'm not on your on the Blind Cool Tech list, but maybe either you or you could interview somebody, do a podcast that would clarify the whole situation around the Talking Book National Library Service players that they're developing and the kind of formats they'll be using and how or if they will be compatible with RFB&G books. In other words, what kind of medium are they going to be using? Are they going to use flashcards? Are they going to use things the size of old cassettes that have some sort of digital memory in them? Will they be compatible with RFB&D stuff? Will RFB&D books play on, Daisy books play on there, on NLS's players, or will you have to send them in to get upgraded just like you do other Daisy players and so forth that you don't purchase from RFB&D? Anyway, general clarification about the state of the coming digital developments in NLS and RFB&D and so forth. It's pretty confusing, and I, for one, would like clarification as I work with students at the college level who also might like clarification. Thanks a lot. Take care. Bye.
So great question, Jim. Great questions. Let me tell you what I know about the Digital Talking Book program. And let me preface that by saying, for the complete information and the official information, one should go to loc.gov/NLS, National Library Service, LOC, Library of Congress. So loc.gov/NLS. What I do know about the Talking Book program, I have learned from that and being a member of the DAISY Consortium, of which NLS has played a major role. As we all probably know, the National Library Service for the Blind and Physically Handicapped is migrating toward digital content. For the last 30, 35 years, NLS has been using cassette tapes as the media on which their talking books are distributed. Of course, the National Library Service supplies its patrons with a machine on which to play these cassettes, these talking books. This is a specialized machine that plays the tape at half speed and four tracks. So it's a stereo tape, but it's actually laid out differently than a normal stereo tape. And there's a side selector that essentially selects between the right and left channel. And all four of these channels are filled with separate tracks of audio. So essentially you get a lot of playing time on a single cassette. Now, those of us who borrow cassettes from the National Library Service know that most books come on multiple cassettes, at least two. There's a few that come on one. The National Library Service has made the decision that it's necessary to move toward digital content. There are several reasons for this. Some of the more simple ones you can easily see now that the price of cassettes is rising as there are less and less of the machines to play them on and less demand for them in the market. The quality of a digital recording is also much superior. As we all know, every time you make a copy of a cassette, you degrade the master a little bit. In the digital world, that is not the case. Each copy is an exact duplicate of the master. There are also some other reasons for moving to digital content. The ability for the user to navigate through the book's structure is possible in digital content. On a cassette tape, the only way that you can navigate is by moving forward or backward, and it's a linear move, so you have to pass over all the material in between where you want to be and where you are. In the digital content, you can actually look at a table of contents of the book and move to chapter 1, section 2, subsection 5. Now, that depends, however, on how the book is marked up. There are several different levels of markup in the ANSI NISO Z3986 specification, which is what the National Library Service has adopted as the basis on which they will build their digital talking book program. Now, how does ANSI Z3986-2002 relate to DAISY? Well, ANSI Z3986 is commonly referred to as DAISY 3. It's the most advanced of the DAISY specifications. The implications of this, however, while the benefits are numerous, include the fact that this specification is not entirely compatible with the DAISY 2 specification. As we know, the Recordings for the Blind and Dyslexic uses DAISY 2. Now, DAISY 2 is primarily audio content. Sometimes there can be some text headings. DAISY 3, or ANSI NISO Z3986, has actually six variations, going from full text to full audio, or partial text, partial audio. Probably the most common one that you will see from the National Library Service is full audio with text headings. So this means you'll have the audio content of a book or a magazine, and the table of contents will be presented in both text and audio. When is all this supposed to happen? NLS predicts that by the end of 2008, they'll have 50,000 players into the hands of their patrons. They plan to have nearly 20,000 books available in this new format at that time. The rollout of digital talking books takes place in stages. Last year, NLS had a pilot program whereby producers created digital talking book versions of magazines, and patrons were able to download these magazines from the internet. This year, NLS is expanding that pilot program to include the protection aspects required in the digital talking book process. Now, we all know that the books from RFB&D are also protected with digital rights management, as many of the other electronic book distribution methods are. So the NLS model will be no different in that respect. The kind of protection and the techniques used for distributing and obtaining keys will be a little bit different. And those details, as far as I know, have not actually been completely worked out. It should be completely possible to do everything online with the method that NLS selects, but again, that has not been finalized. The DAISY, the median on which, At beginning in 2007, National Library Service will begin distributing the content of their magazines in digital talking book format on the internet. This is a very significant announcement, I feel, from NLS. The ability to be able to download these books highly increases the value of this program, in my opinion. By the way, the entire library is expected to also be available to be downloaded, so it's not necessary to actually receive your books in the mail anymore after 2008. And in fact, you don't necessarily even need one of the NLS players. As far as I know, NLS expects to distribute software that will allow you to play these digital talking books on your computer as well. Now, you will need a high-speed connection, most likely, to be able to download these books. We're talking, you know, 80 megabytes to 500 megabytes per book. So if you were to do something like that on a phone line, it would be one of these things where you would have to start it before you went to bed at night and let it go all night. On a high-speed connection, though, most books should be able to be downloaded in just a few minutes. Beginning in 2008, NLS will begin distribution of one of two digital talking book players. They are expected to have a simple model and a more feature-rich model. The simple one will be designed for those people that have trouble manipulating buttons and switches, or that simply find the technology too confusing. These will just consist of a few buttons for the major functions: stop, play, fast forward, rewind. The more advanced model will have features like the ability to go to a specific page or to navigate through the table of contents. There will also be digital talking book players available from third-party vendors, just as there are today with the cassette-based talking book players. Unfortunately, most of the digital talking book players available today will probably not be able to play the new NLS books, and there are two reasons for that. One, the digital talking book players today are CD-based. And two, most of them support only DAISY 2. Now, I know the Telex Scholar is supporting DAISY 3 now, but it is still a CD-based machine. Now, that's not to say you couldn't copy the content onto a CD and then play it on that machine, but its native format is not the cartridge-based medium like we're about to discuss. So let's talk about how you receive these books. NLS looked long and hard at the CD, and contrary to most people's belief, CDs are not durable. They're easy to scratch, they're easy to warp, and they don't make for a good distribution media for multiple people to handle and traveling through the mail. Likewise, the players are delicate. There's moving parts in a CD reader, and shipping those through the mail can cause a lot of problems. NLS has looked at flash-based memory as a distribution media, and what they have settled on is a compact flash-based-like device that's housed in its own cartridge with its own USB connection to the outside world. So essentially, it's like having a USB flash drive with a cartridge already built in it. This cartridge is in the shape of pretty much the size of a credit card, except a little bit thicker. There's enough room on the face of it for a Braille label and a print label. And the cartridge and the players are designed so that the cartridge can only go into the player one way. Using the cartridge as the model, NLS is going to stick with the method of distributing via the U.S. mail, unless you want to download your books from the internet, which I suspect most of the more computer-savvy people will prefer to do anyway. The cartridges are read-only, so you can't take one of these and use it to store your data on. There are three kinds of distribution models that NLS is considering. I am not sure that they have totally settled on which one they'll use, but briefly they are the postage system as they use right now, then the, they call it the hybrid system, where they'll copy cartridges and make physical media for the most popular titles, and then the regional libraries will copy the cartridges from an online database of content and ship it directly to the patron. And then the third one is a totally on-demand regional library situation where they will copy every book and not just the ones that are of less demand. Probably it looks to me like NLS has settled on option two for this, where they'll make enough copies for what they need to mail the cartridges of the most popular titles, and then if patrons request cartridges of other titles, the regional library will download and duplicate, then mail that cartridge to the patron. Now, what about magazines? Magazines will continue to be distributed on cassette for a few years, or also available via download. The reason is it's expected that these cartridges will contain 512 megabytes of RAM, I believe that's the number, and they'll cost the NLS, the National Library Service, about $10 a piece. And that's not such a bad price when you can recycle them, but magazines traditionally and probably will continue to be a throwaway item. So it's not practical to throw away a $10 cartridge. So for those people wishing to continue with receiving magazines in the mail, those will be cassette-based, and the players for those will continue to be maintained for several years out. In summary, what do we have here? We have DAISY 2, which is what pretty much the whole world is using right now. DAISY is a whole topic upon itself, but essentially, George Kircher really can be pretty much credited for the whole digital talking book phenomenon, I guess you could call it, and we really need to interview him at some point. I got a real short interview with him last year, but it really didn't do the topic any kind of justice at all, so I will make a point of trying to get together with him next time I can see him. DAISY is really based on open specifications. The idea was that you want a file format, a way of playing accessible books in a structured way with technology that's available commercially and easy to obtain software that can work with these file formats. DAISY 3 is actually just an extension, more details, more capabilities, more flexibility, and actually some stricter constraints on the way files can be formatted. DAISY 3 is XML-based, whereas DAISY 2 was more HTML-based, and XML is a very highly structured way of representing data. So NLS, I think, chose the right way to go with DAISY 3, or ANSI NISO Z3986. This specification, as we mentioned a little earlier, supports both text and audio. In fact, you'll recognize that Bookshare.org actually uses this specification for distribution of their content. Now, their content is in text format, in DAISY text or ANSI Z3986 text, not audio. You can see an example of the beautiful structure of these books by really looking more at the periodicals section and at most of the books from O'Reilly Publishing. Those O'Reilly books allow you to really drill down to a specific section of the book and get to what you're looking for. Now, granted, most of the collection at Bookshare is not very well structured. Most of it has just been scanned in and doesn't really have any daisy structure to navigate with. And that's the way, actually, many of the books from the National Library Service will be. If you'll recall, most of the books you get from NLS are novels or pleasure reading. So there's not really that much navigation in that kind of a book. You may have your front matter, your annotation, maybe the beginning of each chapter, if there are even any chapters, and then the end of the book announcements. So those kind of books, the navigation will be very simple. NLS has produced, however, as it tries to meet its goal of coming up with 16 to 20,000 titles, some very complex books, some cooking books that let you drill down to specific recipes and ingredients. Very, very nicely done. It takes a lot of work on the producer's part to make a book that way, but I think those will be very valuable for the kinds of books like a cookbook is or a reference book. Now, what about the collection for NLS? What are we going to see on digital talking books with the rollout of this program? Well, NLS has selected and already begun back in 2004, maybe, or 2002, a process to identify and digitize some of the most relevant works in their analog collection. And also, all of the books that they've been recording since 2004, I believe it is, have been recorded in digital format and supplied to them in digital talking, in both digital talking book and analog format. So there will be a sizable collection available upon the launch of this program. And we should, as patrons, expect to see magazines and some books available in 2007 from the National Library Service website. So I hope this overview has given you a little bit of perspective about the NLS program. I do not work for NLS. I am a patron of theirs, and as a technology person at American Printing House for the Blind, we have been working very closely with NLS, actually, and we at American Printing House have produced several digital talking books for them, well over 1,000 of them, in fact. So I do know a little bit about the digital talking book program, but I'm not necessarily, I'm definitely not affiliated with NLS. And for the purpose of this discussion, I'm really not affiliated with American Printing House for the Blind either. This is Larry Skutkun, personal opinion, personal knowledge. There are some other things I know about the program that I can't divulge yet, but most of this, all this information that I gave you on this recording is public information. There are frequently asked questions sections about the Digital Talking Book program on the NLS website, and I encourage you to check out that at loc.gov/NLS. That's it for this edition of Blind Cool Tech. Thank you for listening, and we will see you again next time. I would like to leave you with this rendition of America the Beautiful as performed by the United States Continental Army Band. Oh,
shine.